Question is, what do you want?
Listen, do you want me to call public safety?
Do you want me to get naked and start the revolution? I'll take that as a maybe.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this broadcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this in a merch booth.
It's the homemade broadcast.
The what broadcast?
The homemade broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade broadcast.
The homemade broadcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This shit right here got homemade.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Base vehicle free count operation will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3... 2, 1.
Will the soundtrack kindly produce a sound? Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. My name is Will Coons. Welcome back. Happy Valentine's Day. It's coming up in a few days. I'm going on my, I believe this is the third year where I have got out of buying someone a Valentine's Day gift. Yes, I know. I don't know if it's really pathetic or really awesome, or maybe just a mixture of both. Got out of it last year, got out of it this year. Not really intentionally, mind you. I'm really not as bad as I try to make myself out to be. I'm actually pretty soft, really, when it comes to ladies. And I think that's why I've gotten to the point where I just avoid them entirely. I tried, you know, over Christmas. That was the I was seeing a young lady, and now that's finally over with. We finally got to the point where finally just called it quits. We didn't speak for pretty much a month, and then we finally talked not too long ago, and it seemed to go well. And this was the one that I left her Christmas presents on the porch, so wasted money on that. But that's okay. It's not wasted. It's just, I mean, it's kind of wasted. You get my drift, right? I mean, you don't want to buy stuff for somebody who, I mean, you're not related to or with. You don't buy your friends Christmas gifts, right? I guess I did. I bought, like, but little stuff. Like, you don't go all out for a friend, right? I mean, you get them maybe something, a knickknack, or, you know, some people make stuff, and you give that out. But you don't give, like, you don't go spend money on your friends. So, you know, you spend some money, it feels like a waste when it went to waste. That finally ended. So now I deleted all my dating apps too. I'm not doing anything. I was on the Bumble and the Tinder, and then my friend sent me one. It seems kind of cool, actually. It's I forget what it's called, Hater, I think it's called. They all have the R thing going for the success of Tinder. But you can you find matches based on mutual things that you hate, which seems like it's right up my alley. But I don't even want to – I'm done. I'm done for a while. I'm just going to enjoy Valentine's Day by myself. I'm going to shut myself in, and I'm going to maybe go get a steak or something, make myself a nice meal. Been on the cooking kick lately, trying to figure out how to cook for one person. It's really not the easiest thing to do because it takes a lot of planning, and it's really hard to, like, buy fresh when you're cooking for one person. It's a challenge. Anyway, that's boring. Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your loved one. And make sure you get them something nice. Don't do, I'm sure this is a point of advice that people have pointed out before. It's not really new. But don't do Valentine's Day. Do the day after Valentine's Day. Don't, I mean, it's a wreck out there trying to go out and eat dinner and, you know, cook a nice dinner in. Cook for two. That's easy. Go get yourself a couple chicken breasts, you know, get a bag salad, you know, with all the stuff in it already so you don't have to worry about it. It's got the dressing in it, bacon bits. Heat those up in the pan, too, by the way. You don't just throw those. They're not raw. They're cooked. But heat them up. Don't be lazy. Put them in the pan, you know. Get them hot. Get them crispy. It takes a few minutes, but it's worth the wait. So what else is going on? I got Rick Walenda on the show today. These call-in interviews are super challenging to do because there's always a slight delay when you're talking to them. And I don't know, it's just weird having to wait for even – it's like it was Skype. It's about a half a second, so it's really not even that bad. With the Google Voice, oh, my gosh, it throws everything off. it's about 2 seconds, but it feels like an eternity. So I had him call in not too long ago. And actually, this was earlier in the week. The day I spoke to him they just had an accident. Nick Walenda, who's part of that clan, they were practicing a human pyramid on a high wire, and everybody fell. I mean, it's not funny. It's terrible, but good Lord. And I was like, oh, no, I hope he's still able to do the interview. And I texted him, and he said, yeah, I'm in the hospital, but I can do it from here. So I called and talked to him. I didn't want to keep him too long, though, so this will probably be a shorter show than usual because I only talked to him about 15 minutes. And that's why I'm probably rambling a little longer than I do, trying to fill some time because my life is not interesting enough to ramble on in general, you know. What did happen in the news, though? I saw a few interesting things over this past week, which I should go to my Twitter because I did tweet out some stuff that was interesting. By the way, if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, and who wouldn't, right? I mean, come on. It's all money. It's good stuff. You can follow me at home_made_man. Really easy. That's me. You get updates on the shows. We also tweet out other shows that aren't heard here on Radio St. Pete, but are only heard on hmbradio.com, including Adam Howell's new show, The Hurricane Howell Show. Very political. Adam is my friend that I've known for 15 years, I would say, and was a big conspiracy. He's always been a little out there. He got into conspiracies, lizard people, that sort of stuff. Now, I kind of bailed on that stuff after a certain point because it's just too wild. So Adam's come back around pretty much full circle. When I met him, he was a George Bush fan, George W. Bush fan, and he still hates me a little bit to this day because when we were in high school, I ripped his George W. sticker off the back of his old Explorer. And he's always – I'd never seen him that mad. He was going to fight me. And Adam's a big guy. He's about 6'4", and then he was probably about 300 pounds at that time. But he's a huge dude. And he's always kind of held that against me, I think. But so now he's in this weird – like he's full aboard the Trump train at this point, which is pretty weird knowing his past and where he went. So now he's kind of full circle back to his conservative roots. But I guess he's kind of like me, socially liberal. He doesn't care really about, you know, I don't think he's really religious. I'm not either. Spiritual, that's what all the ladies say, and that's what we say too. Fully comprehend that there may be something out there bigger than ourselves. You can call it the universe if you want. or whatever you call the bigger thing. I don't think he really cares about drugs either. I mean, socially, we're both kind of in the same boat. But he's full aboard the Trump train. And Adam actually started this show with me years ago. When we started doing the podcast, we kind of started it. I started it, but made him do it because we were living together at the time. And then he had his child and had to dip out of the podcast. So I started doing it on my own. Now, I told Adam, Adam's been just on and off. I mean, he's got a kid now. He's kind of got a family. But he's a very talented guy, very funny dude. And he's got the creative juices. You know, he wants to do something creative, I know. So I offered to let him do a podcast here at the HMB Studios, which is my apartment. So he's doing that show, and it's him and his brother-in-law, and they talk a lot about Trump. So if you are a Trump fan out there, you might enjoy Adam's show because he talks a lot about the fights he gets into with his liberal friends on Facebook. And I don't know how he does it. That's exhausting. Don't fight with people on the internet. That is... Twitter, fine. Get a Twitter account and you can fight with anonymous people, but don't fight with your friends on Facebook. Good Lord. But Adam doesn't care. I feel like his thing is, I don't really talk to anybody anyways in, you know, real life because I have a family and I work and I'm, you know, doing that. So he doesn't really have friends. So he's just, yeah, just fight with people on the computer. And again, with fighting with people on the computer, you are going to either get high fives or a thumbs up on Facebook from people you like, or you're going to fight with people. And then they'll tell you, you know what, why don't you go F yourself and delete me as a friend. And then they delete you, and that's one less person you have to deal with. But anyway, so Adam has a pretty good show. I'm trying to balance out this little network that I have going. I want as many voices on as possible. And diverse ones at that. But I think James Bailey kind of covers the other side of that. James is more just a pothead comedian, but he's more on the liberal side. And then I'm kind of in this weird libertarian mindset that I know is a fantasy land, but it's my ideals. So that's what I'm sticking to. So, yeah, we're trying to build up this network and everything. So, yeah, you can check that out. Make sure you subscribe to HMB Radio for those shows. Just search HMB Radio Tampa Bay, and it should pop right up. While you're there, subscribe and rate. Don't give me a bad rating, though. Don't waste your time. But it only takes a minute, and, you know, it really helps out. So make sure you do that. How am I with killing time before this interview? Oh, no, I remember what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to do, I saw that I don't know if you guys heard about this, the Harambe Cheeto sold for $100,000. Yes, that's right. Someone bought a Flaming Hot Cheeto that looks like the gorilla Harambe. If you're not familiar, that was the gorilla that was killed last year at the zoo when a kid fell in the tank or in the enclosure. And they had to shoot the gorilla. So what happened was some genius found a Cheeto that kind of looks like Harambe climbing a tree and put it on eBay, and somebody bought it for $100,000. Guy's a genius. You got to give it up to him for thinking to do that. But I think that... I know who bought it, and I think that person is the Cheetos Corporation, because ads are expensive, right? I mean, you're paying thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for these advertisements that nobody really cares about. I really don't think the discussion is still relevant and prevalent, that they don't even know if advertising and commercials really work at all. So the psychology isn't settled yet. But for something like this, they're paying $100,000, which they probably pay for, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the biz is, but it's probably pretty cheap in the long run as far as advertising goes. So another genius at Cheetos Marketing Corporation says, hey, let's buy this Cheeto for $100,000. Everybody's going to be talking about it, including stupid podcasters in St. Pete, Florida. And look at all the publicity we'll get. So they're probably getting millions and millions of dollars in publicity for $100,000. They're getting millions of dollars worth because everybody's talking about it. What a genius. I thought it was interesting. Maybe it's not as interesting as I think it is. $100,000, because I think it started out as it was only like $1,000 or something, then all of a sudden it went up to $100,000 and nobody touched it. So the auction started off at $15 and he didn't get any bids and he dropped the price to $11.99. And then the next morning, a 33-year-old from Burbank woke up to find a bevy of offers. By Tuesday, the bidding had reached $99,900, and the auction had ended. Well, that's not... Well, I guess it's close enough. You round up or something like that. The whole thing is crazy. It's really surreal, he said. And the guy's an independent filmmaker. But does this mean the independent reader is now $99,000 richer? Not really. Oh, he doesn't get the $99,900? Said the winning bid... Uh-oh. So the buyer with the winning bid had second thoughts and backed out of the deal. Now eBay is going through a list of 132 bids to determine who's willing to cough up the cash for the Cheeto. Does this ruin my theory that I just read just now? eBay did not respond to the comment Wednesday. Defend himself against skeptics, carved out dodgy specimen. Cheetos, he said, are too fragile to manipulate. So some people thought he carved Harambe in the Cheeto. So trying to stay realistic, he said the bids are likely a result of people getting excited and caught up in the moment. Yeah, I wonder how eBay polices that type of stuff, because there's got to be a lot of fake bids. I mean, you can't make somebody pay the money, right? I don't know if there's something in their terms of service, but if somebody like me just bid, I don't have $100,000, so what are you going to do? I mean, cancel my eBay account? Okay. And then you just go start up a new one. So that sucks. I guess that kind of blows my theory of what I think happened here. Bummer, man. So sorry, dude. I guess you're not getting that $100,000. And what if Cheetos did do it and just backed out? Some guy just created an account and then bailed. That would be screwed up. If they find out that's what happens, they should definitely make Cheetos. Or what they'll do is maybe Cheetos will swoop in. See, this theory isn't dead yet. It's just beginning, as far as I'm concerned. All right, let's read the reads. Slybar, thank you for sponsoring this program. Who couldn't with the content and quality of this magnitude here on the air? 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Pete. I believe they're going to go through a name change here pretty soon. Same owner, but they're going to be rebranding, I think, here in the next few weeks, so stay tuned for that. It's going to be the same place, just a new name. They still have food and all that stuff, so check them out, slybar.com and facebook.com/slybarstpete. And also Truvy Salon and Spa. Thank you, Chrissy Parker and the Truvy Salon team. Make an appointment. Get your hair cut. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Here in St. Pete, and call and make an appointment, 727-329-9751. And Truvy Salon Spa at gmail.com, you can email them, or truvysalonandspa.com. That's T-R-U-V-Y. So, okay, we're just going to go to the Rick Willenda interview, and we'll be back. So here's Rick Willenda from the Flying Willendas. Right here, homemade broadcast on Radio St. Pete. All right, I got Rick Willenda on the line. Rick, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing fine.
I appreciate you talking to me. I know it's kind of been a trying day. Through the magic of radio, I'm kind of talking to you from the future because this airs on Sunday. So you've already completed your walk, and everything went well, I'm sure. But today, when I'm talking to you, you're actually talking to me from a hospital room right now. Can you tell me what happened?
Yes. Yeah, some members of the family were attempting to do an 8-person pyramid on the high wire, and they collapsed. The whole pyramid collapsed. 5 people hit the ground, and 3 caught the wire. And my sister is one of the worst injured. We're here at Blake Medical Center, and she's in ICU right now. Wow. And then I have a cousin who's injured even worse. Apparently, she's got extensive facial injuries and possibly some brain injury too.
Oh my gosh! How far was the fall?
They were up pretty high. I'm told 30, 35 feet. I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Wow. So this is the Willendas, everybody in the family pretty much does this thing, huh?
That's what we do, yeah.
And this is, you're the third generation, and now we got some fourth and fifth generations even now.
Well, third generation on this continent. It goes back a lot further than that in Europe.
Okay, all right. So you did the sundial here in St. Petersburg. How do you prepare for something like this? I mean, I know you're sitting in a hospital room now, and then in a few days you're going to be up high on this wire atop a building. I mean, how do you psych yourself up for something like that?
Well, the thrill of doing it is enough to get you mentally elevated for it. And emotionally, you have to have self-control. You got to control the emotions. Otherwise, the emotions can get out of control. And that's what can cause an accident then.
Yeah. What's your process for doing that?
Well, a lot of discipline and a lot of practice and a lot of mental control, you know, and you depend on your practice time, and you become stronger physically, which makes you stronger mentally.
Do you have any, like, meditation techniques or anything like that?
Actually, no. I'm a follower of Jesus. I do a lot of praying and reading the Bible, and the Bible talks about having self-control also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're working with Habitat for Humanity. You did this walk and benefited them. How did you get hooked up with Habitat?
Well, actually, they contacted me, and I frequent their store quite often down here in Sarasota, and so I spent a lot of money at their store. And then they contacted me and asked if I would do the fundraiser for them at the sundial, and went up there and took a look at it, and we had a couple of meetings, and finally we put it all together.
And is it 100% of the benefit going to Habitat?
You know, I don't know how their end of it is working. I don't know why they are doing something. If they're selling tickets or what they're doing, I really don't know how they're working that out. And how much of it goes to Habitat, I don't know that either.
Yeah, I think I read something that a lot of these stores in the Sundial are going to be donating hefty portions to Habitat.
Yeah, and one of the restaurants is donating a meal to me.
There you go. Which one? There's a lot of good ones in there.
There's a salt seafood or something like that.
Yeah,
and,
salt, sea salt, I believe it's
dinner.
Salt.
And I have to speak in past tense, right?
Right.
Yes, we had dinner at the...
It was delicious, I'm sure.
It was fantastic. Yeah, loved it.
So, Rick, how many times have you done walks like this now?
Oh, dozens and dozens of walks. I did the walk where my grandfather was killed in 1978. I returned there about a year and a half later in 1980, and I completed the walk. And wow. It aired on NBC, TV show called Daredevils.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've just been doing them ever since.
Yeah, so I guess, I mean, geez, it's almost morbid to think about it, but you become accustomed to the potential of tragedy for your line of work. I mean, you've been dealing with it most of your life.
Yeah, you don't ever want to become accustomed to it. You always want to use that to motivate you towards more careful walking.
Yeah, what's the training like? When did you start?
You know, I don't even remember. People ask me that all the time, and I don't remember learning to walk on the wire because I was so small. And they practiced out in the backyard, and when they were gone, we would jump up on the wire and imitate what we saw them doing. So as far back as I can remember, I was on the wire.
I wonder if that has to do with almost like when they say it's in your blood. You know what I mean? Like your genetics, when it goes back so long in your family, that, I mean, it's just brought up in you. It's a God-given gift.
Well, yeah, there is something to that, but that doesn't mean we can't train others. I train people all the time.
Oh, do you have, like, a school down there?
No, I don't do a school because I don't want to get involved in that. But I take recruits and I train them and put them in my act when they're ready.
Oh, wow. What's the
I got a gal right now that's working with me, and her name is Andrea, and I've trained her.
What's the next thing you got coming up after this one? Do you take, like, a long break, or do you jump right back into it?
No, we're going to take a little bit of a break now, especially because my sister is going to have surgery, and, you know, I'm going to stick close to home. My mom is 80 years old, and her and her husband are both not well, so I'm going to limit my performing for this season.
Yeah.
Next year, 2018, is my 50th anniversary on the high wire, and what I want to do is walk the Tallulah Gorge in Georgia, where my grandfather walked on his 50th anniversary. It's the largest canyon east of the Mississippi, and that's my goal, to put that together and get that on the map.
What's the process for something like that? When you decide you want to do this gorge, for instance, I mean, what do? Just call up the local government and say you got to, like, pull permits and all that? How do you go about something like that?
Oh, absolutely. In this case, it's the Georgia Department of Natural Resources. And as a matter of fact, my first contact with them was with the mayor of the town. He's no longer the mayor, but that was my first contact. I've had dozens of meetings with him, and he's not the mayor anymore. He's got more time to commit to trying to put that event together, which would be a major event and put their little town on the map again.
What is your life insurance premium?
It used to be a big
premium?
Tourist destination. Life insurance is easy to get. Health insurance is not easy to get. Life insurance, they just pay that off. It's a one-time thing. You can only die once, see?
That's a good point.
But
good
you
point.
Could get hurt, and it could run into the millions and millions of dollars in hospital bills.
Right, right. Jeez. So when you start, when you train people as part of your act, what's the first step? What's the first thing you learn?
First thing we teach them how to do is how to put their foot on the wire and how to carry the pole.
And that's, I'm assuming, pretty close to the ground at that point.
Yeah, we start them off about 4 inches off the ground on a little pipe. And we have a pole that is good for their weight and size. You know, like a little girl. I have a little 4-year-old girl that I'm training. And we're not going to give her a 40-pound balancing pole.
Right.
You know, we give her one that's about 5 or 6 pounds, and I told her how to hold her hands, how to put her feet, and we turn her loose. And then in a day or two, I come back and see how far she's gotten. And, of course, you know, she's only 4 years old. I can't push her that hard. But I bribe her with candy and pennies and nickels and dimes, you know. And she gets out there, and, man, this little girl is feisty. She's got a lot of spunk. She already climbs up on the sway pole 45 feet high. And she's walking on a 3-foot wire already. She's only 4 years old, and she's not family.
Yeah.
Then I taught her bigger sister, too. Her big sister's 10 years old. I taught her, too. And, you know, we get them up from the 4 inches off the ground. We put them on a 3-foot wire, and then on 10-foot wire, and then you go all the way up 30 feet high.
Mm-hmm. Rick Willenda's on the phone with me. How long does it usually take? So this 4-year-old that you have, for example, how long is it going to take her before she's ready to perform in a show?
I don't think I will put her, even if she's capable, until she's much older than that. I have a 13-year-old that I just invited, but her mom said, no, she can't do it. So, you know, the 13-year-old is ready, and she's actually done a show with me, too. And she's ready. She could go, and we have somebody that would chaperone her and a place for her to stay and everything, and I'll continue to try to bribe them a little bit. You know, money can make parents say, yeah, let her go with the, we got a chaperone and everything will be cool.
Yeah. Is a 13-year-old performing with none of the nets or anything like that?
No, we never use any nets. The best safety device is practice.
Yeah. Do you think it's kind of like a safety on a gun? Like if you have it, you might get lazy, right? It's better almost not to have it, so you know that, you know, the risk.
That's our theory, exactly, that are you leaving, Colin? Excuse me. Thank you for coming. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's exactly the way we think of a safety device. If it's there, you're probably going to use it. If it's not there, you're not going to need it.
Yeah, wow. So this walk, how does it differ from other walks you've done, the one at the sundial here, or is there much of a difference?
Well, some people have brought up that the possibility of wind coming off of Tampa Bay, and wind is actually the biggest enemy. And so I'm, you know, I hadn't thought of it before. I thought, well, this is pretty far away. It's behind the trop, and you know, pretty far away from the bay. But no, I didn't think of it from the one side there. It could, the wind could whip up from the bay there. And my grandfather was killed because of a 45-mile-an-hour gust of wind that hit him when he was in the middle of the wire.
Mm-hmm.
So wind is the worst enemy.
Do you know where the wire comes from or where it's going to be? I don't know if you ever – have you ever seen the sundial?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been there. We're going to go to the two towers that are at either end of the plaza over the open end right where the sundial is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to rig the wire from one tower to the other tower and go right over the top of the sundial.
Is that something you normally do? You set up the wire yourself as well?
Most of the time, yeah. If I do the Tallulah Gorge one, the canyon one, I'm going to have that done by a construction company or something like that. I don't want to get involved in running anchors all the way down into the canyon 800 feet below. And,
right,
you know, I just
right.
don't want to do all that.
Yeah, I hear that. What's been the most intimidating walk that you've done?
One of the hardest walks that I ever did was in the Fargo Dome in Fargo, North Dakota, where NDSU plays their football games. And I was way up above the lights, and that's what the problem was. It was dark up there, and when they turned on the lights below me, the wire was backlit, which is good for the people below. They could see me, but not good for me because I couldn't see the wire.
Mm.
So it was that was a pretty challenging walk for me.
Yeah, it sounds like, geez.
And I did another one in Butte, Montana at the Evel Knievel Days Festival. There's a festival in the Great Daredevil's honor.
Uh-huh.
And the wind was blowing through there in Butte, Montana, and we had just a little bitty bucket truck to get me up to the top of the crane. I had to walk from a crane 85 feet high. And this little bitty bucket, it just barely reached up there. And it was, once I was on the wire, though, I was fine.
Yeah.
That bucket truck scared the daylights out of me.
Yeah, I bet. Jeez. Have you ever had that moment where you're on the wire and just your mind blanks, you have like a mild panic attack or something and say, I can't do this? And then how do you pull yourself out of
it? No. No, that has never happened. No, it's, as a matter of fact, there in Butte, Montana, the lift truck to get me down at the opposite end broke down, and I'm standing in the middle of the wire, and I had to wait for them to repair it. Standing on the wire, but I was cool all the time. That's one of the things that I teach my students: never lose your cool.
Yeah.
Because if you lose your cool, you're done. You're over with. You're finished.
Have you ever had somebody with students that you've trained where they've had that, and maybe you had to talk them down?
Yeah. Oh yeah, they lose their cool, and then they can't go with us. You know, they're finished then. That happens. Yep.
If people wanted to get involved, let's say I wanted to. Now, I don't. But if people wanted to get involved and learn how to walk a rope, how would they do that?
Go to my webpage. Contact me.
That's it?
That's it. And then, well, then we'll evaluate. You know, there's going to be an evaluation period. And, you know, right now I got quite a few already, but it doesn't mean I can't add another two or three. You know, especially if there's a teenager that wants to go on the road this summer, I could have somebody ready to go by summer.
Do you charge to learn this stuff?
No, not if they're going to go work for me, no.
Yeah, you do.
How many people do you have under your employ now that are doing this?
Oh, well, there's only three of us doing our small act. But, you know, from time to time, like this summer, we've got a couple of gigs. They want four of us up there. So I'm looking for a fourth person to go up on the wire with us.
Well, it's not going to be me.
And I will train.
That's,
oh, come on.
I don't think I could, man. I don't even like walking up to the top building of walk the stairs up to the top level at some points.
Well, then you can do it blindfolded.
That's a good idea. I like that. Well, Rick, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Sure.
And congratulations on the walk. And hopefully we'll talk
to you
again soon, all right?
Yeah, okay. So long.
All right, there you go. Rick Walenda. Thanks for calling in, man. Jeez. He calls from the hospital where his family, many of them, fell today off a high wire, and they're now in the intensive care unit. So, geez, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. Didn't want to take too much of his time for that. And I'm sure that the walk went well at the sundial. Not a doubt in my mind. I'm sure everything went great. It was not windy at all yesterday, since we're talking in the future now. And everything went well. So thank you, Rick. It was weird talking to him, too, because it's an interesting thing of what he does, right? I mean, it's frightening. It's death-defying. It's high adrenaline. But it's also, at the same time, pretty boring, really. Because there's not, I mean, there's a lot of mental strength that goes with it, and you have to be physically strong as well. But the actual act of walking a tightrope is boring. I mean, you got one foot, and you kind of do in front of the other, and you're controlling your body, but there's not a lot of action watching it. I mean, when you're watching something like that, you're just like, please, God, don't fall, don't fall. And it's nerve-wracking. But, yeah, it's not, it's a athletic thing. I guess it's not a sport, really. But, so it's hard to know what to ask. I mean, you know, what do you think about? I'm sure he's been asked that 1 million times. I was trying to think of things, I just couldn't. So while it's a tremendous and amazing thing that he does, it's also hard to interview somebody like that. So I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again, Rick, for talking to me. Make sure you check out the City Hall broadcast here on Radio St. Pete. If you go to cityhallbroadcast.net, you can hear all those old episodes. That's myself, Kevin King, who's Mayor Crisen's chief of staff, and Benjamin Kirby, who's also an official there, media official with the city. We meet with somebody in the city of St. Pete that works within City Hall or with the city and talk about what they do, and kind of you get to know people that work for your city government if you're living here in the St. Pete area. And this week we had Charlie Gerdes on. Charlie is a council member since 2011, really fun dude, really great guy. And it was a good episode, so make sure you check that out. Subscribe. I don't know if you can subscribe to Radio St. Pete, but, just go to cityhallbroadcast.net. Broadcast, not podcast. cityhallbroadcast.net or visit radiostpete.com. Stay tuned here on Radio St. Pete. We got Frank Rivera's Jazz Show coming up next, and then the Indie Circuit right after that here on Radio St. Pete. Make sure you subscribe to HMB Radio. If you want to get a hold of me for some reason, you can leave a voice message or a text message. 813-693-2124. Check out hmbradio.com. You can get the contact there. I'm also looking for somebody to redo my website. It's one of those Squarespace things, but it needs a facelift. I don't know what I'm doing. So if you feel like helping me out, I will certainly give you a plug. I don't think it's that hard, but I don't want to learn. So if you feel like helping me out, email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiostpete.com. We're going to have stickers coming in here soon in the next few weeks. So I'll be giving those away. I'll even pay for the postage and mail them to you. So if you want a sticker, email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiostpete.com. Subscribe. HMB Radio Tampa Bay, iTunes, Stitcher, and stay tuned here on Radio St. Pete. If you're listening on podcasts, go about your life. Or I'll tell you what, go tune in to RadioSt.Pete.com. We do have the app for that. Search Radio St. Pete in the App Store. Okay, I'm rambling. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.